So, Leon, the headline news from Europe this week is that Greece has bought itself 4 more months. But my question is, what are the details of that agreement for 4 more months? What does Greece have to do exactly in that time?
Sure, okay. Well, let's just take a step back and talk about generally what has been going on in Greece. So the Greek government is at the moment living within its means. It doesn't need to borrow money to pay for recurrent expenditures right now. What it needs money for is to pay off expiring bonds. So they face a series of bonds that are reaching maturity, and they need to pay those off. So up to this point, the Europeans have been lending money to the Greeks in order that they can pay those off. And in order for that money to be dispersed, in order to receive those loans from the Europeans, the Greeks had agreed to certain conditions. And the new government that came in didn't want to stick by those conditions, and as a result, the Europeans basically said to them, well, if you're not going to stick to those conditions, we're not going to pay you the money. So they needed to come up with some sort of new agreement. Now, in order to get to that new agreement, they haven't reached that new agreement yet. What they've basically done is agreed to keep talking. So they've got 4 months to basically keep talking in order to get to some sort of new concrete agreement, and we think that that will probably happen over the month of April, that they'll come to some sort of agreement, and then the Greeks have to adhere to that agreement, carry out the agreement, implement the Greek reforms in order to get the final payment of the overall agreement, which was 7 billion euro. Now, they'll get that, so that all sounds good and fine. They'll get that 7 billion euro and they'll be able to pay those bonds that are expiring. But, and there's a big but here, the last couple of months in Greece have seen tax receipts come in well below expectations, to the extent that it's possible that the Greeks may actually run out of money by the end of March. So we are by no means out of the woods at all. The agreement, as it stands, is that the Greeks and Europeans are going to sit around and come and negotiate a new set of reforms, but really, they may need to act much more quickly than that.
Now, you said at the beginning there that the Greeks are now living within their means. Does that mean Europe has stopped insisting on more austerity in Greece? And more broadly, has the European position changed at all after the election? Does the election of the left-wing government in Greece, have the Europeans recognised that Greece won't stand for more austerity?
Greeks are living within the means, and going forward, the agreement as it stood was that they were actually going to be living well within their means. So eventually what they had committed to do was run what's called the primary surplus of 4.5% of GDP. I won't bother going into exactly what a primary surplus is, but I think that there is some recognition that is probably beyond what is reasonable, particularly given the state of the Greek economy. The Greek economy is terribly depressed. It is basically, they're in a great depression themselves, and I think that there is there's recognition that this can't really go on, but it's a question of degree. It's a question of how much room the Europeans and Germans in particular, I think, are willing to give the Greeks. So I think that there is some recognition, but it's a question of whether it's enough in order for the two parties to come to some sort of agreement.
Now, someone pointed out to me, Leon, it might have been you even, the Greek economy is smaller than the economy of New South Wales. So in
half the size, yes.
So in purely statistical terms, it's not hugely important for the European economy as a whole, and yet everyone's treating this problem as being terribly momentous for the euro area as a whole. So why is that?
Well, so you're absolutely right. Greece is small, and so if there's a major financial crisis in Greece or something like that, that really shouldn't be expected to have wide-ranging ramifications, except for a wrinkle. So if there is some sort of crisis in Greece that means that the European Central Bank stops providing emergency liquidity funding to the Greek banks, which the Greek banks need right now. So what's happening is basically there's a bank run going on in Greece. People are taking their money out of Greek banks, putting it into, say, German banks. And so the European Central Bank needs to provide funding to the Greek banks in order to keep them alive. And this is all standard central banking practice. Exactly what the European Central Bank should be doing. But if in the course of events they may cut off that funding, then you'll get a banking collapse in Greece, and that'll be bad for Greece. But say you're sitting in Spain or Italy, and you see that the ECB lets the Greek banks fail. The next time there's some sort of problem that occurs in Spain or Italy, you might be sitting there thinking, well, I saw the ECB, they let the Greek banks burn. I'm now a little bit worried that they will let the Italian or Spanish banks burn, and so I've got to get my money out now. That makes everything a lot more fragile. It makes the economies a lot more susceptible to bank runs. It makes everyone more skittish, and that is not what the European economy needs right now.
Leon, thanks for your time.
No problem. Thank you very much.